Hallelujah. God bless you tonight. Let's get our Bibles and we will turn to the book of Matthew chapter number 7. And I changed speeds in the preparation of this. Felt evangelistical about it. That's not exactly the right words. I just felt high octane. The pastor was going to use high octane. And but I think the pastor's going to put it in granny gear tonight. And as I was putting it together, I believe the Lord helped us today. I really want to piggyback off of this morning. This morning we talked about the power hearing the word of God. You've got to hear the word of God. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And we need to hear that. We need to be sure of that. It solidifies things in our life. And then we know that faith cometh by hearing, and without faith it's impossible to please God. So you've got to hear. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The Bible said, how shall they believe in whom they have not heard, and how shall they hear without a preacher? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so there is an importance that is put upon, hearing. We've got to hear the word. Tonight, I want to slow down. We'll put it in granny mode or whatever. And I want to talk about the danger of only hearing. We discussed that it's important to hear and that there is a power invested in hearing the word of God. But now I want to talk tonight about the danger of only hearing. Praise God. Matthew chapter number 7, beginning at verse number 21. Jesus said, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. Here, the context is set. This is what we're talking about. We're talking about, in layman's terms, we're talking about who's going to make it to heaven and who's not going to go to heaven. That's what he's saying. He said, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Now listen to this. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have not we done some things? Have not we prophesied in thy name? And in thy name we have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Therefore, whosoever... Now, there is a distinction applied here, and I'm going to point this out. But he classifies, he talks to whosoever, all right? Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, or and does them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. You understand how that is parallel to. This is a good strong house, but it is parallel to him that hears and does the words of God. Now look at verse number 26. He doesn't say, and whosoever that heareth, but he says, everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand, and the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. That's a foolish man who heard the words of God, but did not do them. All right? Now, if you want to turn in your Bibles to James chapter number 1, verse number 23, or you can follow along on the board. James 1 and 23 says, "For if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass." Give me the next verse. Can we give that verse? Verse number 24. "For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was." He heard the words and was not a doer of the word. And the Lord said, James said, he's like a man that's looking at his face in a mirror and seeing that he needs attention. He needs to wipe the ragu sauce or whatever it is off of his face. He needs to fix his hair. His hair is out of place and disarrayed and stuff. He said, he looks and he sees that I need to fix some things, but he puts the mirror down, neglects it, and goes on as if nothing is wrong. Jesus said, that's who a man who hears the word of God but does not do anything about it. That's what that man is like. The next chapter over, James 2 and 26. James 2 and 26, he says, "For as the body without the spirit is dead." In other words, if you don't have breath in your body, you're dead. Breathing is essential. "For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith," and how do you get faith? By hearing. Faith cometh by hearing. "So faith without works is dead also." And without faith, it's impossible to please God. So in other words, if you're going to please God, you've got to have faith, which means you've got to hear it. And there has to be works put with that, or it's classified as dead. In other words, your religion is in vain. Your religion is in vain. You've got to be a hearer. You've got to be a doer. And so I'm going to take a moment's time here tonight, and I'm going to, whatever the Lord would have me to do, teach, preach, treach. That's just a little bit of both mixed together. About the danger of only hearing. The danger of only hearing. Praise God. God, I want you to help me tonight. I want you to touch me. I want you to touch my ears. I want you to touch my heart. God, for that is the way that you choose to get to our heart, and that's through the hearing of the word of God. You speak unto us and it affects and it changes our heart. Repentance, God, was a moment of change of life in our life. And it came because we heard the word of God. And we saw the necessity of repenting and we repented. We heard the necessity of baptism and we were baptized. We heard the necessity of being born again of the Spirit and we were born again of the Spirit. It affected not just our ears, but it affected our hearts. I pray, God, that your word would get into our hearts through the ears tonight, and that you would speak unto us. And God, help us to be quick to receive, to respond, to receive your word, and we will give you praise and glory in the lovely name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Praise God. And God bless you, and you can be seated. When the Lord was speaking to through John, the prophet, or the disciple, the apostle, when the Lord was speaking to him in the book of Revelations, as John said, "I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day," and the Lord began to speak to him and tell him, "I want you to write some things in a book." And he said, unto the seven churches of Asia, I want you to speak some things. And so he began to write these things down. But seven different times he said, he that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit hath to say to the church. Amen. He that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit hath to say to the church. Amen. I'm going to try to be, I won't say quick tonight. I want to be thorough, but I don't want to get caught on a bunch of little rabbit chases here and there. But the Bible does teach us concerning hearing the word of God. He that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit hath to say unto the church. Amen. We've got to hear what the Spirit says to the church. Look at the 12 disciples. The 12 disciples, when they heard the voice of Jesus as he spoke and said, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. What did they do? They followed the Lord. Amen. So they heard him speak these things and they followed him and their life was changed. But there was another individual that came to Jesus and asked him what he must do. And the Lord said, obey all the commandments. And he said, well, I've done all these things from my youth up. And then the Lord spoke to him and he said, go sell all that you have, give it unto the poor, and come follow after me. He heard these things, but he walked away a sad man, and his countenance was changed because he had a whole lot of stuff. And he would not follow God. So he heard God. He heard the voice of Jesus. But he refused to obey the voice of Jesus, to do what Jesus commanded him to do. And he walked away sad and sorrowful. And in looking for eternal life, he did not find it. Amen. Praise God. Now what we can say is that I'm not necessarily being careful, because I want to be bold in the Spirit to speak the word of God. Amen. But I don't want to be perceived as callous. I do not want to be perceived as angry. That's not the mentality. I'm just speaking and preaching and teaching what the word of God says. So from this rich man's point of view, or from this story, we can conclude that he resisted the truth. Can we agree with that? He resisted the truth. Amen. Because Jesus, he asked the Lord, what shall I do to have the eternal life? He said, obey all the commandments, do all the commandments. He said, I've done all those from my youth up. And the Lord said, okay, one thing thou lackest. Sell all that you have, give it unto the poor, come follow after me. He resisted the truth. And because that he resisted the truth, we have to come to the conclusion that he was lost. Obviously, he may have come together at some point in time and may have changed his life. Who knows? But at that point in time, the story says and it concludes and ends, he was not saved. He did not do what the Lord had spoke to him to do. He heard it, but he did not do it. And in not doing it, he walked away a sorrowful man without eternal life. Praise God. Amen. And so the act of doing has always been associated with hearing the voice of God. Or can we say it like this? Doing is parallel, symbolic of obedience. It is being obedient. Amen. So when the Lord speaks unto us concerning something, then it behooves us to be obedient to the word of God. You know, how many times did you look at your children and say, look, you need to do something? And they would say, well, I don't understand that. You say, I didn't ask you to understand it. I just told you to do it. I just told you that's what you just need to do. You'll understand it. That old song says, we'll understand it better by and by. Praise God. I'm just simply saying there are some things that we don't understand. There are some things as a minister, I do my best to understand. The disciples, when Jesus spoke to them in the parables, everybody was wondering, oh, that's a nice story. They heard the story, but the disciples, there was something about it, amen, that the disciples thought to themselves, he's not just telling another story. There is a reason why he is telling this story. I want to find out why.
And so they did more than understand, more than hear. They set themselves to understand what they had heard. And so when they got alone with Jesus, they asked him, he said, what meaneth the parable of the sower and the field, the seed and the sower? What meaneth that parable? What meaneth the parable of the lost coin? What meaneth the parable of this? And Jesus would begin to explain to them the parable, because they perceived that there was something else that the Lord was speaking, and not just another Mother Goose story. And so there are some things that even growing up that I did not understand, but I knew the Bible said it, and I set my heart to understand, and God gave me understanding. Sometimes it was through the studying of the scripture that God brought my understanding. Sometimes it was the next day, sometimes the same day, sometimes years down the road. As a matter of fact, I'm going to talk to you about something here tonight that as I was studying, God turned a light on for me, and I had never seen it in that capacity. And so even to this day, I am still learning, even though I have read the Bible through multiple times. Amen. I'm not here to say that I know it all, but I am set to try to understand everything. And so there may be things that I don't understand, but yet I know it is right to obey. And so I do that. The Lord spoke to Adam, and he said, Adam, of every tree you can eat of, except for this one, do not eat of it. And the day that you eat of it, you shall die. And Adam could have just sat there and said, hey, no problem, I won't eat of that tree. And the Lord said, there's something else that you need to do. What do you mean? I'm in the Garden of Eden. I don't do anything in the Garden of Eden. This is utopia. This is great. I'm having a great and fun time. He said, no, I want you to keep the ground. I want you to keep the garden. I want you to till the garden. I want you to work. I want you to do some things. Adam could have heard this. Now, listen. Adam could have heard that he was to keep the garden and he was to till the ground, and he could say, I heard you the first time, and not done anything about it. And you know what would have happened? I'm going to tell you what would have happened. He wouldn't have had anything to eat, because when you till the ground and when you plant, it grows forth and it produces fruit. Don't expect God to provide everything for you when he tells you to do this, because in doing these things, it's going to provide for your future. Some of this is futuristic or spiritualistic, amen, that in the things that you're obedient of, amen, it's going to help you to get through the situations in life that are to come. Amen. Your blessings in life are going to be a reflection of what you do today. Amen. Your spiritual obedience to the word of God today, amen, is going to come up in fruitfulness and blessing in the future. Praise God. I'm jumping light years ahead of myself, and probably not that far. That's an extreme exaggeration. But sometime this year, I'm going to be talking about and teaching extensively upon the family. Don't expect your children to be anything that you are not. Don't expect your children to be worshipers if you're not a worshiper. Don't expect them to be faithful if you're not faithful. Don't expect them to be givers if you're not a giver. Don't expect them to be holy if you're not holy. Don't expect them to be obedient if you're not obedient. Praise God. Amen. That's the truth. Amen. And so in doing what God told him to do, we see that God provided him a wife. Maybe some of you men need to pay attention to that. That was a cheap shot, huh? Amen. Praise God. And so God always blesses. God always has. And we could talk about Israel, and we could say that Israel went into the wilderness, and they were free. When they were free from the Egyptian bondage. They were free, and the Lord said, okay, now that you're free, here's what I want you to do. I want you to keep my commandments. And they could have said, oh, wait a second. We're free. We don't do anything. We're free. And no, freedom has its limitations, and freedom has its rules. And because that they were obedient to the Lord, God provided manna.
And when they weren't obedient unto the Lord, what happened? The manna rotted, stunk up the whole entire place because that they were not obedient, because the Lord told them, he said, on the sixth day I want you to gather for 2 days. But they did not do what the Lord told them to do. And so that seventh day they didn't have anything. And you know what? They murmured and complained. The Lord said, I told you. Don't be blaming me. I told you. I told you what to do. Well, the next week around, they said, oh, it's the sixth day, and so we're going to gather for two, or it's the seventh day, or it's the first day. We're going to gather for 2 days. God's like, I didn't tell you to do that. I told you to gather for 1 day. Just walk by faith. They said, oh, no. We're going to gather a whole lot. We're going to gather a whole lot. And it stunk. It rotted. And there was a stink throughout the whole camp because they did not do what they heard to do. They did something completely different. They were disobedient. And I could talk about Noah and the ark. Noah heard what to do. But if Noah would not have done it, Noah would have died a casualty of the flood, just like everybody else died a casualty of the flood. Noah heard to build an ark. And Noah could have showed and told everybody, I know exactly what to do. Here's what you do. But if he would not have done it, he would have been lost. He would have died in the flood. Praise the Lord. Another one that I want to bring to your attention tonight is the Bible teaches about a certain man, a Syrian of the king, king of Syria, and his name was Naaman. And the Bible said that, or he was a captain of the host of the army of Syria. The king of Syria. And the Bible says that Naaman was a leper. And we know that Syria had went and had conquered this one land, and they had taken all of these slaves and people into bondage. And there was a little Syrian girl that was working in the house of Naaman. And she knew that Naaman was a leper. And she told somebody in the house, she said, if my Lord, she was talking about Naaman. She said, if the prophet was here, because she had an understanding about the prophet in the land that she used to live in. She said, if the prophet was here, he could help Naaman and cure him of his leprosy. Well, somebody went and told Naaman and said, look, your answer is in the prophet. If you'll go find the prophet. And so we know the story. He contacted the king, and the king said, what am I supposed to do? I can't do anything. And so he referred him to Elisha, and here comes Naaman to Elisha. And he pulls up outside of Elisha's house. And here he began to expect the man of God to do something. He expected the man of God to do it. And so the man of God didn't even come out. The man of God said, he told Gehazi, he said, go tell him to dip seven times. Go tell him to wash in the Jordan River seven times. And when he comes up that seventh time, then his flesh will be like baby's flesh, and he will be whole again. And so Gehazi comes out, and he tells the leper, he said, the man of God said, if you'll do this, this, and this, you shall be cleansed. And he got aggravated because the man of God had the audacity to tell him some stuff instead of coming and doing something himself. Naaman expected, I think I've got that somewhere in the board if you might be able to find that. It's in 2 Kings chapter number 5. And 2 Kings chapter number 5, you're going to see where Naaman went, and Naaman said, he began to say to his servant, he said, you know what? He said, I thought that the man of God would have come out, and he would have spoken to me, and he would have waved his hand over the spots of leprosy, and he would have cured me. He said, behold, I thought he would surely come out to me and stand, call upon the name of his Lord, strike his hand over the place, and recover me. No, that's not how it works, Naaman. The way that it works is, I speak, you listen and do. And when you listen and do, then you will receive. And so here he's ready to drive away, and he's all infuriated because the preacher didn't do something. No, the preacher just had to speak the word of God. But he's mad at the preacher because the preacher didn't do it. Preacher said, I just tell you what to do. It's up to you whether to do it or not. And so now here he is upset, and his servant says, you know, if he would have asked anything of you to do great, you'd have done it, you know. Deal.
And Naaman said, well, and he starts finding fault with the preacher's word. Isn't the Pharpar and the Abana and the Damascus River, aren't they better rivers? Aren't they cleaner rivers? Aren't they more beautiful rivers that I could go to? And he's like, well, you know, again, if he had asked you some great thing, you wouldn't have had an issue with that. And so Naaman wheels the chariot around and he goes back unto the Jordan River and he dips himself. What happened? He did what he heard to do. In all realities, I don't understand. We got numerous rivers around here that are a whole lot more pretty, a whole lot less dirty than the old dirty Jordan River. I don't understand why I have to go do that. Just simply do it. So Naaman went down and he went to the Jordan River and he dipped 5 times and he was still a leper. He dipped 6 times and he was still a leper. He dipped 7 times and he came up whole. He was clean because that he was not a hearer of the word only, but he was a doer of the word. Praise God. Amen. This shows us that obedience is always tied into. Let me just go ahead and add this. God is never going to ask of you something that is impossible for you to do. There may be some times that it seems like an impossibility, and then you're going to have to reach up and get a hold of his hand. But as you hold on to his hand, he will take you through it. But God is not going to ask of you something that you cannot do. Why? Because it's not his will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God wants to save you. That's the whole reason he died on a cross. That's the whole reason that he shed his blood. He desires to save you. Praise God. Amen? Are you with me so far? Amen. Praise God. All right. Good. Amen. Buckle up. It may get a little rocky on the way up the road. Amen. But that's why we got it in four-wheel drive low gear. Praise the Lord. Amen. Jesus said, upon this rock, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I can imagine his 12 disciples looked at Jesus, may have cocked their head and looked at him, looked at one another, looked back and thought to themselves, and somebody said over there, you know, in that sideways in their mouth, Peter asked James or James asked John or somebody said, what's a church? Upon this, because this was foreign to them. That's the first time the word church is used. What's a church? And he said, I'm going to build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. They just accepted it because time continues to go on down the road. Time continues to move. And as time continues to move, they're still looking around for a church. They don't know what a church is. They understand the word, the ecclesia. The ecclesia just simply means the called out to assemble or the called out to come together. And that's what it is. And so here they are, and Jesus dies on the cross, and he resurrects himself, and he ascends up into heaven, and they are thinking of themselves, and I don't know, this is just my perspective, because I'm one of those that in the book of Acts talked about the ignorant men. That's just kind of the way, I don't know, I don't understand all this, and say, you know, where's the church? I thought he was the church, and he's gone. The church. What about the church? But you know, a few days later, the Bible teaches us that when the day of Pentecost was fully come, the church was born. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and the church begins to explode. The church begins to grow, and exponentially begins to grow. And so the assembly of God begins to take place, and people begin to come together. They congregate. First of all, everybody that was there in Jerusalem, they didn't live in Jerusalem. This was the Feast of Pentecost, and so they had come in from all other areas, and they're on, not necessarily vacation, but they're on a spiritual expedition. And so they're there at the Feast of Pentecost, and Pentecost becomes a whole lot more than they ever bargained for, so they stay. They stay longer. It's like revival. Hey, we're going to continue on in revival. Amen. I know typically it's over after about a few days, but we're going to continue on for another week. You know what? Let's go on for another 2 weeks and stuff. So they extended the feast here. And the Bible says that they sold their goods. Why did they sell their goods? Everything that they had brought and stuff. Because they needed to live. And so they sold their goods and parted one with another. And basically everybody became everybody's responsibility. And Brother Gavin is hungry. And so I got an extra sandwich. And so I give it to him and stuff. Amen. Because they loved one another. And they was part of this church. And everybody was happy and in the church. And they continued from house to house. And breaking of bread and such there. And the church began to grow and began to multiply. And even that day, God added unto the church 3,000. And the Bible said that he continued to add unto the church daily such as should be saved. And then you begin to read that it just began to happen. In Acts chapter number 4, it multiplied. Again in 4, it multiplied. 5, it multiplied. And then we get over into Acts chapter number 9. And in Acts chapter number 9, in verse number 31, the Bible said, and here's the reason why we come to church. Somebody says, well, I don't understand why we have to come to church all the time. Here it is, Acts 9 and 31. He said, for then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee. And basically, here is a reprieve. Here is a reprieve. Everything had been going crazy all this period of time. But now here is a little reprieve. Then had all the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria. And they were edified and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost. They were multiplied. Now, the English Standard Version simply says that the churches were built up. The churches were built, were being built up. I've got that on the slide there as well. Amen. The English Standard Version. Amen. It just simply says that the churches were being built up. And then in the Amplified Version, it says that the churches were growing in wisdom, virtue, and faith. That's why you come to church. That's why you come to church. Amen. You are going to grow in wisdom, in virtue, and in faith. There's a lot of things that just does not come. Amen. What's the word I'm looking for? It doesn't just happen. There's some things that you got to learn. You didn't wake up at 6 years of age and then all of a sudden have this brilliant idea. I understand all of math, all of science, and all of these other things. I just understand. No, you had to learn. You had to learn some of these things that you had to learn. Some of you have been in the church for an extended period of time. You've been in the church for 40, maybe even 50 years. And for me, I'm sitting at 35 years been in the church. As a matter of fact, I guess I would have to say 49 years because I was born and raised in the church. And still, I'm learning things, but you are growing. If in a few years, Jameson and Grayson are the exact same size that they are today, everybody's going to look around and say, you know what? I think you need to take them to the pediatrician. There's something wrong with them. There's something wrong. They're not growing. There's something that's wrong. But that's the same way that it is in the house of God. When a person receives the baptism of the Holy Ghost, they don't stay new converts. They grow. They grow in God. They grow in knowledge. They grow in wisdom. They grow in faith. This is what it's all about. You don't have all knowledge. Amen. I don't have all knowledge. And so when we come to church, amen, there is one that has all knowledge. And I'm not talking about all knowledge just according to the scripture. But God has knowledge of what's going to happen tomorrow. And God has knowledge of what consists in your life down the road. Brother Chuck, your stroke did not surprise or catch God off guard. Amen. But God had prepared you for some things. And I know there's some little things that began to add up. But when things began to happen and you went to the hospital, you know what happened? You called, or Sister Delana called, for the church to begin to pray. These are things that we learn. The heathen is not necessarily going to call for the church to pray because that's not their way. Maybe that was grandma's way, and maybe they'll be trying grandma's way. Amen. But in a situation like that, they want to try anybody's way. But because that we grow in grace, and because that we grow in knowledge, amen, we become what God would have us to be. And the Bible says that as they were increasing in knowledge, that is, learning this new Christian way. This was a way that was completely foreign to them. They were all Judaizers. They were all a part of all of that Old Testament stuff. They were still obeying all the laws of the temple and the tabernacle, and they were a part of dietary laws and all of the other little things that was there. They was a part of all that. This Christian way was a brand new thing to them, and they were learning it. As a matter of fact, when you look through your Bible, if you would look at the chronological Bible in the New Testament, you would see that the book of James is the first book of the New Testament. Now, in your Bible, it's not James, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Amen. It's Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John's few others, and finally we get towards the end, and then it's James. But James was written first. And so James is dealing with this new Christian church. And in dealing with this new Christian church, that was all about works, 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 works. Sacrifices in the temple, temple taxes and phylacteries and dietary laws and all of these other things. Works, 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 works. All of a sudden, works is done away with. And somebody said, whoopee, praise God. I'm happy that that's done away with. And they ran all the way other to the other side of faith. And they started dancing the powwow of faith. Faith, 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 just a little bit of faith. You don't need a whole lot. Just use what you got. And James reaches out there and grabs the pendulum and says, hold on! You can't just live by faith. And he pulls it. What had been so far left and now had swung so far right. He grabs it and he pulls it back to balance area in the center. And he says, hey, faith without works is dead. You can't just go around professing, I'm a Christian, I am a C, I am a C-H-R-I-S-T-I-N, and I have C-H-R-I-S-T-M-I-H-E-A-R-T-N-A-L-I-V-E-E-T-E-R-N-A-L-L-Y. If you don't know that song, you missed Sunday school. But that's what was happening. They were just saying, I'm a Christian, I'm a Christian. Praise God, isn't this wonderful? God bless you, brother. And James said, hold on a second. If you're going to be a Christian, you can't just be a hearer of the word. You've got to be a doer. As the body is without the spirit, so is faith without works. He said, you show me your faith without your... He said, I'll show you my faith by my works. Faith without works is dead. We can substitute that and we can say faith without obedience is dead. You cannot just have a profession of godliness. You cannot just have a profession, I'm a Christian. You got to let your light so shine before men. When the apostle said, let not your good be evil spoken of. Don't be professing to be Christ-like, godly, and to be some type of big Christian, but yet your conversation is completely polluted and perverted. That doesn't work. So, well, I'm a believer. No, you aren't. Because if you were a believer, you would believe what God said, and then you would be obedient. Then you're a true believer. I don't have time to go through and to give all the scriptures for that because we got a long ways to go tonight. Actually, we don't have a whole lot further to go. But and so from that point, the enemy of the church has tried to do away with the church, but the church kept doing what they heard about. Acts chapter number 4 and verse number 20 said, Peter said, we can only do that which we have heard and what we have seen and heard. And so there was people that said, you know what? You got to stop this. You don't preach Christ anymore. And Peter said, we only do what we've seen and heard. And so they're preaching, and you know what? Oh, somebody says, we want a Book of Acts church. We want to see exploits. We want to see great and powerful revival. You know what the key to the book of Acts church was? Somebody was preaching and everybody was doing. And when people were doing what was being preached, the churches multiplied. The churches multiplied. Amen. They had great and mighty revival because they heard somebody says, you know what, we need to have a prayer meeting. Well, let's go. And they prayed. Somebody says, we need to fast. They said, all right, let's fast. Somebody says, we need to invite. They said, all right, let's go invite. Somebody said, we need preaching. Then let's have preaching. Somebody says, we need baptized. Let's get busy and baptize them. They did what they heard to do. Jesus said, go to the upper room and tarry. Let's go to the upper room and tarry. Said, wait for the promise of the Father. We're waiting for the promise of the Father. We're praying. We're going to stay here. Until you be endued with power from up on high. I'm not endued with power, so I'm still staying here. They did what they heard to do. And that's why we have the book of Acts. You know what Acts stands for? The actions of the apostles. You know what that simply means? What they did with what they heard. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is Jesus telling them what to do. Acts is their obedience to what Jesus told them to do. And because that they were obedient to what the Lord told them to do, they had great and mighty revival. We want great and mighty revival, but it ain't going to happen by faith alone. The way that it happens is faith without works is dead, and so we got to bring works into it. Praise God. Amen. We'll take some time, some other time, to talk about, amen, the book of Acts. But let's go on to the book of Hebrews, chapter number 5. Amen. And let's find out why that we struggle with so many things at different times. All right? There is a direct correlation of growing in God as you assemble together. Hebrews chapter number 5 and verse number 11. Amen. Paul writing, and Paul says, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. Okay, there's a problem. Somebody's not hearing the preacher. And it's not necessarily because that they're not listening. It could be two reasons, or it's not necessarily because they're deaf. Amen. There's two reasons. They're not listening or they're not there. I told you we're going to put it in granny gear. This is where the climb starts. So there's two reasons why you're not hearing. You're not listening. You're taking your spiritual hearing aid and turning it off. Or you're like me and you just take the spiritual, you take the hearing aid out. Don't get quiet on me. Amen. So there's only two reasons that you're not hearing. You're not listening or you're not here. All right? You say, well, what's the problem? We're going to read. He said, for when the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teaches you again, which be the first principles of the oracle of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. Paul is saying here, amen, we've already done this before. But you're stuck on milk because if I give you strong meat, if I give you the meat of the word, you can't take it. You start choking. But Paul is saying it's time to grow up in God. That's really what he is saying. All right? He said, you have need you have need that one teaches you again the first principles of the oracle of God and are become as such of one as has need of milk and not of meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. Let me just stop and say there's nothing wrong with being a babe in Christ unless you've had the Holy Ghost for 10, 15 years. And you're still claiming to be a babe in Christ. There's something wrong. We got to grow. Why? Because there's other stuff that we've got to know. There's other stuff that we've got to learn. There's other things that we've got to do. and we can't be stuck on the milk. And we're going to talk about that here in just a moment of time. Amen. But strong meat, he says, belongeth to them that are full of age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Amen. And Paul is really telling them, you need to grow up. If you don't believe me, go to Hebrews chapter number 6 and verse number 1. I don't know that I got that one on there. Somehow or another, I left it off. I don't even have it in my notes. Hebrews chapter number 6 and verse number 1. Here's what he says. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on into perfection. I'm going to tell you what that does not mean. That does not mean that we forsake everything that we heard, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ. Let's forget all of that and let's just go figure out something else. That's not what that means. Can you pull it up in the Amplified? All right? He said, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine, therefore, let us get past the elementary stage in the teachings about Christ, advancing on to maturity and perfection and spiritual completeness, doing this without laying again a foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God. So here's what Paul is saying. Look, we got to grow. We got to grow in Christ. But if you're not hearing the word of God and you're not doing it, you're not growing. I can set food before the babies. Amen. Every day. But if they're not eating, they're not going to grow. And as a matter of fact, they're going to die. You've got to eat. And so as the church begins to grow, I'm not talking about numerically, and we want to grow numerically, but the key to numerical growth is obedience to the word. And as we are obedient to the word, amen, God helps us. Why? Because I cannot ask one of these babies to teach another baby. Number one, they can't even communicate. Number two, they have no wisdom. Number three, they have no knowledge to acquire wisdom. They're infants. They need milk. And so when a person in the house of God, amen, is content to just sit there, I just wish he would preach repentance and baptism in Jesus' name and the infilling of the Holy Ghost. We need that. You know why? Because oftentimes there's sinners and guests here and they need to hear that. Why? Because there's new babes in Christ that need to have that rooted and founded firm in their lives, that they have a firm foundation and knowing what true repentance and baptism is and the infilling of the Holy Ghost. Amen. But the Lord is saying, you cannot stay there. You've got to grow to get to here. Amen. Praise God. I'm not being rude. I'm not being mean. I am telling us. I am opening our understanding so that you can understand. You know why? Because you feel a disconnect in this church. I have felt it several times in the spirit and praying. You feel a disconnect in the church. You think to yourself, I'm not growing. I'm not growing. You know why? You're gagging on meat. You know why you're gagging on meat? It's because, amen, you oh, Jesus, help us. There are too many times we're not hearing what the word is saying, or we're not here to hear the word, what the word is saying. That's why, amen, I'm being as nice as I can. That's why it is so important that you come to the house of God to hear the word of God. Why? God does not want us to remain in this condition. And when I refer to this condition, I'm not talking about 1,200 Henry. I'm not talking about 40 people. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about having the ability to help others. But there's some of us that says, I can't help anybody else because I don't understand it myself. And that's okay. That's okay. Number one, make sure you're at church as often as you possibly can be. All right, we just spent 27 weeks on holiness. And only 8 of those weeks talk about standards. 8 of 27 weeks we talked about standards. All right? And so you know what happens? The church grows
in maturity. And as the church grows in maturity, you know it as well as I know it. The church is going to become extremely bored if we're sitting around only playing kiddo games or reading Mother Goose books. And I'm talking spiritually, okay? The church is going to be completely bored. And the church is going to say, I'm not growing. You know, here I am. I've had the Holy Ghost for 10 years and that guy up there is still feeding milk. You would not like me. You would not care for me. I have a responsibility to help you to grow. Because God doesn't want you to be a babe. Paul addressed that. Paul, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. And so Paul is talking and Paul says, look, you need to grow up. Don't be the person that's just said, well, I just want repentance, baptism in Jesus' name and filling of the Holy Ghost and hoorah shout time. We need to dig down. Get the Word of God. The engrafted Word of God, which is able to save us. Save us. Why do we need that? Here we are at our text. Go back to our text. Matthew chapter, what was it, 7? Chapter 7, verse number 21. And the context here simply says this. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. I'm going to try to be quick in. I'm going to use a big word here. Don't let the big word scare you. I'm going to be quick, try to be quick in exegeting this. So basically, that just simply means pulling it out, breaking it apart, looking at it at all forms and such. Okay? All right. But the problem is we read the Word of God and we just read right over it. Blah, 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 blah. Got my Bible reading done. Thank you, Jesus. And then go play a game for 5-10 hours. But he says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of God. But yet you got people that want to say, oh, all you got to do is call on the name of the Lord and you shall be saved. Everybody said, everyone that calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You got to put that into proper context. Because this is what Jesus said. Jesus said this. Jesus said, not everyone that says, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whoa! I better step back and find out what all of this is about. I need to find out what's going on. And he says, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. He that doeth. I got to do something. I can't just say, Lord, Lord. I got to do something. Somebody said, believe on the Lord and you shall be saved. I got to do something. Believing is essential. You got to believe. Look, it's like batting. And I hate using sports analogies in preaching. I think it just weakens the Word of God. All right? But it's like batting or baseball. You can't get to first base unless you believe. You've got to believe. Because why else would you ever repent if you don't believe that God is able to forgive you of your sins? But because that you believe that God is able to forgive you of your sins, why do you believe that? Because he said it. He said that if I would repent, he would forgive me. That he is just and able to forgive. So I believe his word. I believe he said that if I would be born again of the water and the Spirit, I shall be saved. I believe that if I do that, I shall be saved. That's pretty simple. He said, he that believeth and is born again of the water and the Spirit. I believe that. So I have to do that. So I am baptized in Jesus' name for the remission of my sin. And I push to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And when I receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, amen, I enter into a place of salvation. But I don't get to just sit back and say, well, I'm saved.
No, there's something I've got to grow. I've got to grow, because not everyone that says, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but only the one that does the will of the Father. Only the one that does what he knows to do. Next verse. For many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? We did some things. We prophesied in your name. We cast out devils in your name. And we have done many wonderful works. We have been doers. Now, this can be confusing if you just look at that and say, well, you know, I don't understand. Here's people and they're prophesying in the name of the Lord. They're casting out devils. They're doing many wonderful works. And the next verse says, Jesus says, and then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me. Whoa, wait a second. Foul. That don't sound right. I'm prophesying in the name of the Lord. I'm casting out devils in the name of the Lord. I'm doing many wonderful works in the name of the Lord. And then all of a sudden he says, depart from me. I never knew you. You that work iniquity. You don't talk about making somebody upset. That was sure enough would make you upset, because especially this is judgment day. You don't get a chance to go fix things. So you better make sure that you understand and fix them now. All right, I'm going to read to you. This is not my version. This is not my revelation, my understanding. I'm going to read to you what three different theologians write. All right? This is what one said. Alongside those who produce notably bad fruit are those who produce no fruit. Nothing but leaves. They can be identified not by the religious language they use, but by what they do. It is whether or not a person does what the Lord says that proves whether or not he is a partaker of the kingdom of heaven. To call on the name of the Lord continually, but never do what he says, is the essence of false profession. The Lord's penetrating question is, why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Luke chapter 6 and verse 46. That's what the commentator says. Why are you calling him Lord, Lord, if you're not doing what he says to do? All right? Let's read another one. This one says, no person, by merely acknowledging Christ's authority, believing in the divinity of Christ's nature, professing faith in the perfection of his righteousness and infinite merit of his atonement, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. He shall not have any part with God in glory, but he who does the will of the Father, he who gets the bad tree rooted up, the good tree planted, and continues to bring forth fruit to the glory of God and the praise of God. There is a good saying among all the rabbis on this subject. A man should be as vigorous as a panther, swift as an eagle, as fleet as a stag, as strong as a lion, to do the will of the Creator. All right? So that is what he says. He said, you got to do some things. All right? Now here's the revelation that I got. All right? This is what Jameson Fawcett Brown had to say. He said, many will plead that they had done miracles, preached and prophesied in his name many times, and will demand an entrance into heaven. Nevertheless, the power of working miracles had no necessary connection with faithfulness. God may as well, if he chooses, give the power of raising the dead to a wicked man as the skill of healing to a wicked physician. A miracle is a display of God's own power through the medium of another. An act of healing of the sick is also a display of the power of God's ability through the agency of another. Neither of these cases is there necessary connection with moral character. So preaching or prophesying, God may use the agency or the talents, amen, but not through pious or carrying forward of his purpose. Here's what he is saying. He said, when you see a miracle worked, that's not my abilities. If I pray for somebody and they're healed, that's not my abilities. If I pray for somebody to be delivered, that's not my abilities. That's God's abilities. This is the act of faith that God said, lay hands and they shall recover. Cast, amen. In my name shall they cast out devils. In my name shall they do many wonderful works. He said that's faith and obedience to that. But that does not signify their obedience to the word of God. Or their way of Christianity and such. He said, that's just my power because it's my blood that was shed for their healing. It was my blood that was set for their deliverance and such. It has nothing to do with Mark Cowan's power. I have to answer to God for my actions or inactions. And I can lay hands on people and see them healed. I can lay hands on demon possessed and see the demons cast out. But that doesn't necessarily mean that I'm living right. You say, whoa, wait a second. We've seen it too many times with all the false prophets and all the other yahoos that are out there. As a matter of fact, you go to the book of Revelations and the Bible said that when the false prophet comes, that he will deceive many. Many because of his miracles that he does. But that does not mean that he is right. Okay? So everybody has to live their life right. I am responsible for living my life right, just like you were responsible for living your life right. Amen. That's the way it is. And so let's go back to Matthew 7 and let's finish this up. And so he says, many shall say in that day, and he said, but I'm going to say unto them, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I never knew you. Next verse. He said, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them. I want to be a hearer and I want to be a doer. I've got to do some things. I've got to do something. The Bible says it like this. To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, it is sin. That's what the Bible says. If you know to do good and you don't do it, it is sin. Is any sin going to enter into heaven? Mm-mm. It's not going to happen. If you got sin in your life, it's not going to happen. And if you know to do good and you don't do it, that's sin. That's sin. To him that knoweth, that means he heard to do good and doeth it not. You got to hear to know, but then you got to do to be saved. All right? He said, so this individual that hears my word and does them, I will liken unto him like a wise man, which built his house upon the rock. We know that Jesus Christ is the rock which the builders rejected. He's the stone that the builders rejected. He is the rock. I'm going to build my church upon this rock. Amen. All right? And he says, and the rain came. Now, he puts special emphasis on every little part of this. This is why the preacher is so long-winded, because he puts special emphasis on everything. And the rain descended. All right? Now, he just doesn't want you to think, oh, it's just raining. No, he's painting a picture here. The rain descended and the floods came. So not only do you see rains coming down, you see floods coming up and you see all this stuff. He said, and the winds blew. We're talking about a pretty bad storm now. Rains are falling, floods are coming, winds blowing, and beat upon that house. It shook that house. It hammered that house. The winds just smacked those windows. And the rains were hitting and the noise was there and the floods were coming. And he said, and it didn't fall. It weathered the storm. It went through everything. Somebody's saying, I just don't know if I'm going to make it. I'm just struggling. I don't know why I'm struggling. You're struggling because you're not being obedient. Well, I just don't understand. We got to listen. We got to be there.
Because I'm going to be held accountable for every word that's in that book. So I need to know it. I need to know it. Look, the Bible says that God once winked at ignorance. That you didn't know. Stupid means you don't have the capacity to learn. Ignorance means nobody taught you. The Bible said that God once winked at ignorance. They had the capacity to know, but nobody taught. God once winked at ignorance, but now commands all men to repent. You know, when you tell that officer that pulled you over, and you look at him and you're like, he said, "Do you know why I pulled you over?" And you're like, "No, I really don't know." He said, "Well, it was because you were doing 55 and a 35. And you look at him and you're like, "I didn't know it was 35. Oh, my bad, it is. It's 35. See you next time." No. Ignorance of the law is not an excuse. He's going to tell you, "Well, you should have been watching and paying attention. Here's your ticket. Sign right here." So the Bible said that God wants... So in other words, whether I tell you or I don't tell you, God's not winking at it. I'm going to be held accountable if I don't tell you. So here's the deal. I'm going to tell you. It's up to you to do what's been told. I can teach you, and you can know truth, but if you don't do it, you're going to be held responsible for it. And this is what he says. He said, if you hear the word of God and do it, you're going to be like a house that's built upon a rock. And when the storms of life come against you and start shaking your foundation, you're going to stand in that. And you're saying, "I'm not bending, I'm not bowing, I'm going to be here." And when the storm is over and the sun pops out, you're going to still be there. You may be drenched with all kinds of the rain and stuff, but you can still lift your hands and say, "I'm still here. I'm not going anywhere." How did you make it through that? I had faith in God. I was obedient to His word. I'm not going off of just a little storm. I'm in this for the long run. But then he said, "But everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not, he shall be likened unto a foolish man." So in other words, if you know that something is wrong and you don't do it, God's going to hold you accountable for that. Christianity is not a buffet. I'll take a little bit of this, a little bit of that. I don't like green beans. I don't want any of that. No. We're going to be held accountable for the whole word. I want to be saved. I'm not coming so that I can make friends. I'm glad that you're my friends. I'm glad that you're my family. But that's not what I'm here for. We're here to go to heaven. That's what it's about. And Jesus said, to the one that hears the word and doesn't do it, he's going to be like a man that built his house upon the sand. And guess what? The same rains descended. And the same floods came. And the same winds blew. Just like it blew on somebody else, it blew on everybody. And the house fell. And great was the fall of it. And that's just, Jesus said, that's what eternity is going to be like. That's how it's going to get started. If you know to do right and you don't do it, you're like a foolish man that built his house upon the sand. You say, "Well, I'm still standing." It doesn't matter where we are right now. It matters where we're going to be on judgment day when he says, "Depart from me, I never knew you." Why? Because you didn't do. You didn't do what I said. I am helping you today. I'm helping you today because you're contemplating so many things. You're weighing things out. You're struggling. You're trying to get through life. You're struggling in the church. You're feeling this disconnect. You know why you're feeling this disconnect? It's because as the church grows and matures, you're not growing with the church and maturing with the church. And you know, a good, solid church is going to have, always going to have babies, children, teenagers, 20s, 30s, 50s, elderly, middle-aged, and elderly. And I'm not talking about physically, spiritually, the church ought to have spiritual babies, ought to have spiritual kids that are growing, ambitious and energetic, spiritual teenagers that are getting their feet under them, learning things and ready to start life on their own, and then spiritual mature adults. That's what the church should always consist of, all the time. All the time. All the time. There should always be new converts. And so when there aren't new converts, you know what we got to do? We got to step back and say, am I doing what he said to do? Because if I want to be a book of Acts church, and let's stand here tonight. If I want to be a book of Acts church, I've got to do what he said to do. You can't use the excuse and say, well, I just don't see it that way. That's not going to be a very good excuse when you get to heaven or you stand before the Lord and you tell the Lord, well, I just didn't see it that way. The Lord's going to say, I didn't necessarily predicate if you see it this way, then do it this. No, he just said, that's what you got to do. That's just what he said. That's just what he said. He said, be ye holy, for I am holy. I'm going to pick and choose what holiness I want. That's not correct. That's justification. That's not correct. Lord says, be faithful. Not sure about that. And that's why we feel disconnected. You know, here's the bottom line. It's only going to get rougher. It's not going to get easier. It's not going to get better. As a matter of fact, Jesus said, if those days had not been shortened, the very elect won't even make it. So don't get hung up on this message here tonight. Just check your spirit. Just check your spirit. God, do I have a problem with truth? I'm resisting truth, trying to live my own life, do my own thing, and yet call myself a Christian. God wants to help you. God really, really wants to help you. And this is the way that God does it. It's through the help of the body. I love God. I love God's people. I love His church. I love His word. His word is not grievous unto me. You know what? I got 10 commandments in my life just like you got 10 commandments in my life, in your life. But you know what? When we keep commandment number one, top 2 through 10 they're not even a factor. Because when you love the Lord your God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength, you ain't worried about lying, murdering, thieving, committing adultery, fornication, none of that. Why? Because you're in love with God. You're in love with God. Praise God. I think it would be good if we just take some time, come down before the Lord, weigh some things out, put some things on the altar. God wants to help people. I want to help people. Brother Worths wants to help people. But he'll stand up here and he'll say, you can't help people that don't want to be helped. It just doesn't happen. I don't want to become your enemy because I tell you the truth. I'm trying to help you because you're struggling. You got questions. You got confusion. But the reason that you have questions and that you have confusion is because you're not being compliant and obedient to the Word of God that you have heard. Don't worry about getting from Q to R and S to T if you can't make it from A to B, C to D. God's not going to force meat on you. when you can only take milk. But at the same time, you can't live on milk alone. Man cannot live by bread alone, but out of every person of God. We got to have the whole Word of God, all of it, and it shall save us. And then we can come before Him. And the context of the matter is simply, we shall be saved. Amen. And so many people struggling with living for God because they get hung up on what they are and what they're not going to be obedient to, what they are and they're not going to be obedient to. One's choice of not obeying does not necessarily stymie the whole growth of the church that desires to be obedient. But the result is one that begins to feel disconnected from the church as the church progresses and grows and moves on. I want revival. And I'm preaching to you right now. I want to see this church grow exponentially. And I believe that it is. But it don't even make sense, babies producing babies. I know that new converts are going to win new converts because they're so excited about everything and such like that, and that's good. But church, this is where we have got to make sure that we are mature in. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection. Let us move on. Let's not get hung up on just the little things. Let's move on. Let's grow. Let's be what God wants us to be. And when we can do that, amen, the sky is the limit. Nothing can stop the church. Why? Because they're obedient to what God has spoken. Amen. These altars are open here tonight. You need to come talk to God. You need to come talk to God. It's that one thing. It's that two, three, or four things. It's whatever those things are. Paul said, I am persuaded that no thing. It's recorded as nothing, but it just simply means no thing shall be able to separate me from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. That's how confident I am. I'm a believer in the Word of God. Whatever God says, that's what I'm going to do. And I've just got faith that when it comes to the end of life, when it comes to the end of life, amen, He's going to say, enter in. Thou good and faithful servant. You've been faithful in a few things. In other words, you did all these things. You've been faithful in a few things. I'm going to make you ruler over many things. Why? Because God knows that you're obedient to what He says. Amen. There is a danger in only hearing. A danger of only hearing the Word of God and not doing it. You're like a foolish man that built his house upon the sand, and the storms of life come, and they couldn't weather the storm, and the house fell, and great was the fall of that house. Oh God, I want to be a hearer. I want to be a doer.